We go to church every Sunday, or these days attend services online, maybe with digital donations. We give our tithes and offerings faithfully, often giving even more to missions. But is something missing? You know, for many of us here in America, it's easy to get complacent, even with the coronavirus pandemic. Up first today, our host Rob West speaks with David Platt about the physical and spiritual plight of others around the world. Now, today's program is pre-recorded, so we won't be taking your calls, but we have some calls all lined up that hopefully you'll benefit from hearing. I'm Steve Moore. Get ready for a trek into the high Himalayas. That's next on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, many of our listeners know Pastor David Platt as the senior pastor of McLean Bible Church and author of the New York Times bestseller Radical, but now he has a new book out designed to shake us out of our complacency titled Something Needs to Change.
Well, and I'm quite confident, Steve, it's going to do just that. David, a true delight to have you with us today on MoneyWise.
Great to be here.
David, much of your book relates your experience while trekking in the Himalayas with a couple of teammates, and it's an incredible story. I can't wait to dive into it. But that's not actually where the story begins. It started with wanting to bring a child into your family. I'd love for you to start today by setting the story up by telling us that.
Yeah, so adoption has been a part of how God has formed our family, and we had heard in particular about one country over in Asia where the Himalayas are, where there is just a high percentage of child mortality, trafficking, and so God just put it on our hearts to pursue an adoption from that particular country, and we got all the way up to where we were about to be matched with a child, and this was a multi-year process, just praying just every night with our two boys at the time for a little sister to be from this country and for just children in that country, and then the adoption fell through. At that point, the country closed down for adoptions, and so we just knew God had put this particular country, this particular part of the world on our hearts for a reason, and didn't know what. And not long after that, there was a guy who's now our close friend who came through where I was pastoring and at the time and just visited for a worship gathering one Sunday, came up to me afterwards and introduced himself. He starts talking to me about where he serves, and it's that particular country. And I said, hey, can we get together tomorrow? And so we meet the next day in my office. He gives me basically not just statistics, but a lot more color on some of the serious realities, the desperate need in this particular country. And he said, hey, would you be willing to come and see it yourself? I said, no question. And so that set the stage for now what's been multiple treks and involvement and work in these remote villages high up in the Himalayas.
Yeah. Mm. Well, the book really details the experience, the trek that you had through the Himalayas. It's incredible. And what God did in your own heart and the message that you have for the church today that came from it is profound. I'd love for you to talk just for a moment before we head into our first break here about what makes this part of the globe such a huge mission field. Let's just focus for the moment spiritually, and then we'll talk about some of the affliction and other things going on there after the break.
Yeah, I would say more than anywhere else I've traveled in the world, this particular region of the world represents just a collision of urgent spiritual and physical needs. So certainly on the spiritual needs, so, and yeah, we'll talk about some of the urgent physical needs, but most people out of the millions of people in these mountains have little to no knowledge of Jesus. We're talking, you walk on the trails, you come up to somebody and say, hey, what do you know about Jesus? And they say, who's that? It's like you're talking about somebody in a village nearby that they've never met. Like, they just have no idea about the good news of God's love in Jesus. Nobody has ever told them. It's pretty baffling. It's pretty humbling to sit there and realize, okay, 2,000 years after Jesus has come with all the technology resources we have at our disposal. And these are not just isolated people. They represent many in the world who have little to no knowledge of Jesus. Or if they've heard his name, maybe they know just a little bit about him, but not actually the truth of who he is and what he's done.
Yeah, it's the birthplace of Hinduism and Buddhism. We'll explore this and even talk about how this relates to your finances just on the other side of this break.
Pastor and author David Platt with us today. We're discussing his brand new book, Something Needs to Change. What is that something and how can you be a part of it? More MoneyWise Live after this.
Money and life run on the same track, but unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Do you remember that old ad from the 1970s for Clayton's? It's the drink you have when you're not having a drink. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Clayton's has become part of our language. A Clayton's drink looks as though it's alcoholic, but really it isn't. A Clayton's anything is something that looks real, but isn't. Question: is it possible to have a Clayton's person? You know, a person who's not really a person. A baby in its mother's womb, is that a Clayton's person? Or maybe the street people we walk around on the footpath. They're almost always smelly. Are they Clayton's people? Or maybe those workers in the factories across Asia who make the toys our kids play with and the clothes we wear, all for a few cents an hour. Are they Clayton's people? Jesus said, "I've come to bring good news to the poor and to set the captives free." I wonder when he looks around whether he sees any Clayton's people on this earth. I wonder.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Joining us today is Pastor David Platt. He's the author of a good book. No, it's not a good book. It's a great book. It's titled Something Needs to Change, published by Multnomah. You'll find it for sale at Amazon, or you can visit their website directly, radical.net/something needs to change.
David, I'm so glad you're here today. This is an important, no, I would say a critical message for the church today, what the Lord has allowed you to share through this brand new book. And it really comes from a trek you took with a couple of teammates through the Himalayas. And what you experienced, what you saw, the people you interacted with just really caused you as a pastor and a Christian leader to think deeply about some of the key questions we all wrestle with about our role in taking the gospel to the ends of the earth and being a part of really helping to meet the physical needs of those in such desperate situations around the world, and certainly no more than right there in the Himalayas. You were just describing the spiritual condition, obviously the birthplace of Hinduism, of Buddhism, where Christianity is hardly found. Talk to us about some of the realities of the physical needs that you experienced in this part of the world.
So they did some research in these villages where we've spent time, and they found that half of the children were dying before their eighth birthday. So half their kids. Like, I've got four kids, Lord willing, another one on the way to adoption. One of my greatest fears is something happening to one of them. I can't imagine that being an expectation for a half of them. And they're dying of preventable diseases, the kind of thing where a child gets a cut, I have a simple ointment I can put on my child's hand or whatever when he or she gets a cut. That they don't have that, and so that cut turns into infection that begins to take over their body. And so maybe it's just a cut. Maybe it's a drop of unclean water or a cholera outbreak that just instantly can almost take out an entire village like one that we encountered. So just extreme poverty, and then to see the way the traffickers prey on that poverty, and it doesn't take a lot of convincing for trafficker to go into a village, see a family struggling to provide for their kids, say, hey, your daughter, we can take her down into the city and get her a good education, a good job, or she can send the money back up to help you and your family out. She'll come back and visit periodically. And so a family will send their daughter down, and she will never come back, and she will not get an education, and she will not get a good job. She'll be put in a brothel where she's broken and abused and made to do whatever men want to do with her. And like, I was just back there a couple months ago. We were in an art therapy setting with some girls who had been delivered out of trafficking. And there was an 8-year-old girl in that room. It's just, it's just evil. It's urgent physical need. Yeah. So that's when I say in this book, like, urgent spiritual and physical need colliding. So to see people who are in urgent physical need like that and have never even heard the good news of God's love in Jesus, like, that's why it's out of the book, Something Needs to Change. When I first came down out of a trek in those mountains, and my buddy, we're sitting in the airport, just looks at me and says, David, what's your takeaway from this? And I said, I don't know exactly what, but I do know this, like, something needs to change. This something needs to change in these mountains, and something needs to change in me and my family and my church to be a part of affecting change there.
Yeah, it's gut-wrenching. As I was reading, and I can only imagine looking at these people in the face, being there on the ground, what God did in your heart. David, you saw some of the religious practices unfolding before your eyes, and it really gave you a picture, perhaps in a new way, of the spiritual realities of even hell. Talk to us about that.
It's pretty overwhelming seeing all these physical needs, but then to come to maybe this one particular place, a Hindu holy site, this river, where within 24 hours of a friend or family member dying, they bring the body to this river and they place it on a funeral pyre over the river, light it on fire. And then as the ashes go down the river, they believe this is helpful in the process of reincarnation. And so I'm standing there just looking at this scene, people wailing as these bodies are burning. You just imagine, like, the sting in your eyes or the smell, and you realize, like, based on what the Bible teaches, what Jesus himself says, like, you realize you're looking at a physical picture of a spiritual reality, that these are people who died in sin apart from faith in Jesus and are separated from God now forever. And then it hits you, as if that's not heavy enough, then it hits you that most, if not all, these people never had even somebody tell them how they could go to heaven. Like, so it's one thing to talk about these truths, like, in the comfortable confines of, like, a church building on Sunday morning. For me, to stand in front of the church I pastor here in Metro Washington, D.C., and say these kind of things, but it's a whole other thing to come face-to-face with it and wrestle through, okay, like, if this is what the Bible teaches, then what does this mean for my life? And you're just compelled, like, I want to make the hope and love and peace and eternal life of Jesus known all throughout those mountains, and not just there, but so many places in the world where the hope of Jesus is not yet gone.
That's right. David, let's turn a corner a bit, because one of the other experiences you had on your trek through the Himalayas there in South Asia was experiencing the church that was there. And in many cases, this house church, people went to incredible lengths just to be there. You had the privilege of teaching these believers while you were there. Give us a sense of what happened.
That's what was so beautiful. Like after hiking for days and hardly meeting anybody who's even heard about Jesus, then you get farther down the mountains and you start to, there's more people we got to this one village and there was a small church. So people who've heard and believed in Jesus who are gathering together. And just to see, we went out at night and we climbed up this really high mountain. And it was cold. It was steep mountain. It was a hard climb. And we went out and we saw these little lights coming up that trail we'd gone up. And the guy who we were with said, hey, that's the believers coming up to gather for this church. And I thought, these have got to be the most fit church members in the world to hike all the way up here. But then we gather together in this tiny little room, and it's people of all ages. It's kids. I mean, it's moms who've been carrying their kids on their backs. It's grandparents. I mean, and they gather together in this room, tiny room, like one little light bulb hanging in the middle and just crammed in, and just the most pure, authentic worship, just simple. And the way they were encouraging one another and talking about how they were sharing the gospel with people around them and how it was costing them and some of the challenges and persecution they were facing. And I thought, this is it. Like, this is the church. Just a simple picture of love for God and his word and zeal to love one another and work together to make the love of Christ known in the world. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of.
With an encouraging word for us today and also a challenge, because something does indeed need to change and how you can be a part of that with your time, with your money. David Platt with us today on MoneyWise Live, and we'll have more right after this.
Do you know if you have enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
It is still, we can get all our little righteous acts in a row. We can get our disciplines down. You can be so proud of your quiet time and the time you spend in prayer, but it's still, when it all comes down, it will have been about loving people. It's still going to be about people. It is still going to be about people. In this vast family. Firstborn, what in the world does that mean? Firstborn. That Christ is the firstborn from the dead. That's what that's talking about, the first fruits from the dead. We might think of Lazarus, but Lazarus was not raised to his immortal being from the dead. He just was put back on earth again to go, good grief, I'm back. You know what I'm saying? He could not. I'm sorry, but he was not happy about that. There was no way he was happy about that. So, I thought this was done. I mean, I've told y'all before, I have a sibling that believes in reincarnation. I've told him before, I said, not only do I know it's not true because of Hebrews 9:27, it has been appointed for us to die once and then comes a judgment. But I'm going to tell you something, if I die, and I've had a good life, but I'm just going to tell you, it's hard. It's hard. And if I die and wake up to this whole thing again, I'm going to kill myself immediately. Immediately.
You've been listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore. Beth and team are thankful for the grace gift to serve you. Your letters, prayers, and support are a vital part of this program. To request this month's thank you gift, text the word gift to 57682. Again, text GIFT to 57682. See you next time for another Quick Word with Beth Moore.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. and it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Today on MoneyWise Live, we're speaking with David Platt. You probably know that name from his book that first got national exposure, Radical. In fact, you can find out more about him and his ministry at radical.net. Today, we're discussing his latest book, Something Needs to Change. Rob?
Well, David, you've begun to just scratch the surface on this incredible trek you had through the Himalayas. And just before the break, we were talking about the privilege you had of teaching those believers in that small house church after they had trekked up the hills, in many cases, several miles. And, you know, as you progressed through this, God really began to stir in your heart that something needs to change. That became the title of the book. And what is it that the Lord has impressed upon your heart that's the message for the church today?
You know, I think when it comes down to it, I want to be really careful not to tie like a tidy bow. So if you just kind of do one, two, three, then that's it.
Yeah.
Whenever I've come back from these mountains, part of me wishes I could just take as many people as possible into them. So this book is my attempt, since I probably can't do that physically, to bring these mountains to, like, face-to-face with those who are reading this book to say, okay, what needs to change in my life, my family, the church I'm a part of? So that's the process I began working through in my own life. And really, in some ways, still am working through. Like, if we're not careful, like, we can convince ourselves the world looks like what we see right around us when it's just not true. And so all that to say, at the end of the book, that's where I walk through, okay, how can we, like, work hard, help well amidst urgent physical need around the world, and just kind of unpack, okay, what does that look like? How do we use the resources God has entrusted to us, like right where we live, not just in the Himalayas, like right where we live, and then far from where we live? And then how can we work hardest to spread the gospel amidst urgent spiritual need? I mean, this is where, there's people in those mountains who've never heard the gospel. So how can I use my life, my resources, my family, the church that I'm a part of, how can we be a part of getting the gospel to them and right around us? I mean, the reality is we can be a part of meeting people's most urgent spiritual need today, right where we live. And so that's where, at the end of the book, just try to think through, okay, what change needs to happen in our hearts and our lives, routines, use of resources, families, churches, in order to affect change in a world of urgent need around us.
I love that. We need to work hard and we need to help well. David, as you know, this program is about biblical financial principles, using God's resources that He's entrusted to us wisely and faithfully. What does that look like as a pastor? How would you encourage us in that way? You know, we can get so caught up in thinking about what's happening with our 401k and are we saving for retirement and what's the next biggest house we're going to buy, and how do we wrestle with living in this culture in the time of greatest prosperity the world has ever seen here in America, and recognizing some of us have an abundance and some of us are struggling that are hearing my voice right now. And yet, in just about every case, we have more than we need. So how do we reconcile that with what you're describing?
I think we've just got to ask the question, honestly, in every one of our hearts, like, why has God put us here in one of the wealthiest places in the history of the world? And I, as you mentioned, I know people listening right now have different levels of wealth, but at the same time, like, the fact that we have clean water, clothes, shelter, we have the gospel. I mean, so many things. That's one of the things I wrestle with most. Like, why was I not born into these mountains? Why was I born into a place where I've never had to worry about dying of a preventable disease or clean water? Why have I heard the good news of God's love in Jesus from the day I was born? Like, I had nothing to do with where I was born. That's just the sheer grace of God, and I can't explain it. Like, why was I not born in those villages and those mountains? So I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know this. Like, I've been given grace for a reason, and it's not to spend my life on myself. Like, it's just not. I've been created for something so much greater. And so much more wonderful that I get to be a part of. Like, I get to be a part of bringing hope to girls who are being trafficked and help them get out of that situation. Like, I get to bring the greatest news in the world to people who've never heard it. Like, that's far more important than a bigger house or more comforts, greater luxuries in this world. That's where we just got to get perspective. Like, what is going to matter most 10 billion years from now? And what we get an opportunity to be a part of today in the world, spreading the greatest news in the world, bringing hope, joy, life, peace. Like, this is, you can't put a price tag on that. It's so much more valuable. And I think that's where I tell stories all throughout this book, just of people who've realized that and are using, leveraging the resources, the gifts, the opportunities God has given us to make his goodness known in a world of urgent need. And once we start to taste of what that looks like, then we realize nothing in this world can compare with the joy of following Jesus and using our resources for his glory, others' good, and our joy in the process.
Wow. Incredible. Well, David, I am so thankful that you were with us today. We've obviously just scratched the surface, but as I said at the outset, this is an important message. No, it's a critical message for the church today. Something needs to change, and we appreciate you taking us on a part of that trek with you through this book. And my prayer and hope is that each of us listening today would think about our journey. Each one is different. What has God entrusted to you? Not only your financial resources, but the knowledge that you have of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. What can you do with that today? And what is your part? That's what each of us need to do and think about deeply. And David, we're delighted to have you with us.
Thank you guys for having me.
David Platt's brand new book, Something Needs to Change. Well, Rob, I can tell that reading this book as you've done, I can tell this has impacted you, huh?
Yeah, Steve. It's really about being open to where God has called us to use our resources, to use our time and our talents, and how we take that to a world in need. And it's different for everyone, but we need to stop and think and pray and ask the Lord for us what needs to change.
Radical.net/something needs to change. That's where you'll find the book. We'll be right back with more MoneyWise Live.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, my name is Aaron, production assistant at Moody Radio. The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in Mark 11:24-25. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. That's Matthew 11:28-30, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
One more reason why the ministry of Moody Radio is so important.
This may be the only opportunity somebody might have to hear the gospel. We know that the gospel will change lives, and so that's why it's important. We need changed lives that will follow Christ.
Your gift to Moody Radio helps listeners like this encounter the gospel through clear Bible teaching.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Your family and your money are two very important subjects. That's why in this month's MoneyWise e-magazine, we're giving your family tips and tools to grow closer to God, closer together, and closer to true financial freedom.
Get practical advice to strengthen financial communication in your marriage, infuse more budget-friendly family activities into your week, and a lot more. Your free MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at MoneyWise.org/signup.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Oregon Governor Kate Brown says federal agents who have been guarding the U.S. courthouse during violent protests in downtown Portland, Oregon, will begin withdrawing in the next 24 hours. Florida reporting more than 9,400 coronavirus cases and 216 deaths today. That eclipses the daily death record set a day ago. The state health department reporting more than 6,300 total confirmed deaths. The new numbers raise the average number of deaths reported daily to 142. That's second only to Texas overall. Heavy rains pummeling the eastern Caribbean due to a weather system headed to Puerto Rico. The storm could turn into a tropical storm and unleash flooding and landslides. The Federal Reserve keeping its benchmark short-term interest rates pegged near zero. The Dow today gaining 160 points. This is SRN News.
So pleased you join us today on MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. We're taking calls from all across the country. So let's continue geographically up to Chicago, Illinois. Mario, thanks for your patience. What's on your mind?
So I was just calling because my plan is to buy a house or, save up for one within the next 5 years or so. But I have about $20,000 in loans between a car and a student loan. Right now, I'm saving up for the $1,500 that you guys, tell us for emergency funds. But once I hit that goal, which should be at the end of this month, should I pay down the loans first? Or because I can make the payments and still save about 10 to 15% of my income towards the house. But should I just pay those off as fast as I can once I hit the $1,500? Or should I just keep making those payments and keep setting the 10 to 15% aside for a house?
That's a good question. And, I think as you're saving for emergencies, typically would say you can stop at the $1,500 mark if you're trying to pay off high interest credit card debt. If you don't have any credit cards and we're just talking about a student loan and a car, then I would really actually drive that savings up to 3 months worth of expenses so you have a really healthy emergency savings account for anything unexpected. Beyond that, we've got to determine, do we want to pay off the car or student loan or save for the house? I think that's really a decision you have to come to prayerfully. My preference would be that you go ahead and be really aggressive on the student loan and try to pay that down and knock it out completely, just because those can tend to linger. And I think right now, if you can keep lifestyle at a minimum and really focus on knocking that out after you get your 3 months expenses, you'll be thrilled you did. And then perhaps at that point, we continue making the monthly payment for the car, but we take all the money we're sending to student loans and redirect that and really all the margin that you have toward the home savings, and the goal there is going to be 20%. I realize that that is going to involve you perhaps renting a bit longer than you planned or that you'd like to, but that's going to get you into a position where you're nearly debt-free except for the car. You'll be adding the mortgage, but you'll be doing it with 20% equity right out of the gate. Again, there's no hard and fast rule on this, and if you said we want to knock out all the debt before we save for the house, or we're comfortable that we're going to pay the students' loans off within at least 10 years, and we want to go ahead and save for the house, I wouldn't argue with you. It's just, if it were me, I'd try to knock out the student loans first and then save for the house. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Mario, you're in pretty good shape, actually. You said you have $6,000 in student loans. We talk to people who have 10 times that amount or more. So it may look like a big number, but you can do it. And we're pleased to hear that you're moving in the right direction. Thanks for calling today.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
All right, buddy. God bless. I was just about to give the phone number. I shouldn't do that, should I? We are pre-recorded today, so if I give the number and you dial it, all you'll hear is a busy signal. So, yeah, don't call in today. We are pre-recorded so that Rob and I could take the day off. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And, Tim, what are you thinking about today?
Yes, I'm calling about my wife and her Social Security.
Okay.
Apparently, she's 8 credits short of getting anything. That's what I'm figuring. And we don't know whether she should go back. Well, she's working as a substitute, and they don't take any Social Security out of her pay. Whether she should go back and become like a full-time aide at the school and get her 8 credits, is it worth it for her to go back to work, or would she get something of my income when she retires at 62?
Yeah. Well, I would love it if she could qualify for Social Security benefits, and perhaps you could go visit with somebody at the Social Security Administration just to get some very specific advice based on your situation and even a projection of what her benefit would be. But basically, if she were to try to make up these 8 credits that you believe she is short, it would likely take her a couple of years. You can get up to 4 credits per year. You get 1 credit for each $1,320. Of earnings, and that amount increases. It goes up slightly each year, but roughly in a couple of years' time, so long as the work she did paid into Social Security and wasn't excluded from Social Security. Some teachers are, based on qualifying for a teacher's pension. Doesn't sound like she'd be in that situation. So if she could get these 8 credits over a couple of years' time, then perhaps she could qualify. But before you make that decision, I'd encourage you to either make an appointment at the Social Security Administration and just get a few more details, or perhaps do some legwork yourself at ssa.gov. They have a great website that would be helpful to you. But it sounds like that may be a good option.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome, Tim. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Tim.
You're welcome.
Rob, we have an email here. This one is from Pat. It says, Ecclesiastes says to divide our portion into 7 or 8. Does that apply to money we have in an FDIC-insured bank? We have all our money at one bank. We are well below the FDIC insurance limit, but should we use several banks, not just one?
Yeah, well, Pat is referring here to Ecclesiastes 11:2. It says, divide your portion to 7 or even to 8, for you don't know what misfortune may occur on the earth. This is where we get the idea of diversification that we would apply to investing, which is essentially saying don't put your eggs in one basket. I don't think the same principle applies here when we're talking about cash, notably because there's a guarantee. If there's FDIC insurance, it means it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Now, there's limits to that. Essentially, the FDIC has borrowing authority in the Treasury up to about $30 billion. But remember, in 2008, when we had the credit crisis, Congress removed that limit temporarily, and basically the FDIC had a blank check. So at the end of the day, so long as Congress approves it, the FDIC has unlimited resources to make sure they can restore confidence in the banking system in the event a bank defaults or many banks default. But I think as long as you're in cash and you have that FDIC insurance, there's no need for further diversification just based on the kind of asset that it is.
Okay. And with that, I think we have time for one more down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Helvia, you're on with Rob West. How can we help you?
Oh, thank you. I enjoy your program very much.
Thank you.
I want to know, I am a widow. I am 87 years old. I have an account in my name and my oldest son. He had the power of attorney. My question is, if I die, do I have to have beneficiaries for that checking account?
Yeah, Helvia, I'm not an attorney, but let me just talk to you generally about how this works. Normally, accounts like that would be handled through your will. Now, certain accounts allow for a beneficiary to be named on the account, and if a beneficiary is named, and there doesn't just have to be one, there can be one or more, if there's a beneficiary named, it would pass outside of probate. It would go directly to the beneficiary. But with accounts other than investment accounts, for a typical check account, that would pass according to your will. So the key would be to make sure at least every 3 to 5 years, if not sooner, that you have your will updated, because that's going to handle how your personal assets and property is passed at your death. It would go through the probate process to those named in your will. So I'd encourage you to take a look at your will and make sure it's up to date.
Is there a difference, Rob, between a beneficiary and a signatory, if you will?
Well, a signatory would be somebody who's actually on the loan. In this case, she's just wanting to make sure that these assets in this account are passed to an heir. And again, you can either do that by naming them in the account as a beneficiary, or right. you can just make sure you have an up-to-date will, and that would cover it.
Okay. And, Halvia, we hope that helps you. We're glad that you called today. Thank you very, very much. We appreciate that. You're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. We'll be right back after this. Please don't go away.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. Almost everyone is upset and worried these days, and adding to everyone else is being upset and worried. For those of us living under God's protection, that makes every conversation an easy opportunity to uplift people and move them closer to Jesus. Most people expect you to be just as upset as they are, and when you're not, that sets you apart from everyone else they've been talking to. It's not natural to be happy today. It's supernatural and begs the question, why? How can you be happy with so much going wrong? Are you not following the news? Whenever people ask you that kind of a question, they've just given you permission to tell them about Jesus. And anything you say that connects your peace with your faith will have huge impact because you have what they want. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
And now, a discipleship moment. Here's Paul Downer.
I can't remember the last time I said no to something, Stephen said. I always just added in. Maybe that's my problem. At that moment, we got to the root of Stephen's issue. Like so many today, he has been feeling spread thin and unsatisfied. Can you relate? It's possible that, like Stephen, busyness and overload are killing you. Psalm 27:4 says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord that I shall seek." Friend, what is the one thing that God is calling you to build your life around? One thing I do know is, wherever we are, God is calling each of us to disciple people. So end the frantic multitasking and focus your life. A life without focus is a life without legacy.
To learn more about Discipleship Network of America resources, go to Downer.org.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
This is our final segment of a broadcast we previously recorded. Thanks so much for being with us today, and we hope you'll stick around and enjoy the rest of the program. Thanks so much for joining us today on MoneyWise Live, talking with people all across the country about what concerns them financially. Why do we do this? Well, because God's Word talks a lot about money and finances, and not just about giving and being generous, but all sorts of practical things like co-signing and saving and investing. And two-thirds of the parables talk about money or finances in some way, form, or fashion. Kind of surprising, huh? Well, I'll tell you what, Rob, we just received an email. It just came in from Sherry. Why don't we jump on this while I have it up in front of my screen or on my screen. She says, "Dear Rob and Steve, I have a credit card with a large balance and a high interest rate. Would it be wise to take out a bank loan to pay off the credit card at a substantially lower interest rate? Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah, thanks, Sherry. You know what? My approach to this, first of all, is to go back and identify the cause of the credit card debt in the first place. You mentioned you have a large balance, a high interest rate. Let's make sure we've done the hard work of saying, what got us to this position? Were we living beyond our means? Was it an unexpected emergency? Was it a large medical expense? What was it? And have we corrected it? Because so often when we take the pressure off by refinancing it, we definitely don't want to take unsecured debt and secure it to the house. But assuming you mean an unsecured bank loan with an interest rate lower, the pressure comes off. And then often what we'll find is a year later, you've got this new bank loan and the credit card debt's back because we treated the symptom and not the problem. So start by really being honest with yourself. What got you here? Second, let's put a spending plan in place where we're tracking the flow of money in and out, and we're doing that in a detailed way. Number three, I'd rather see you debt snowball this. If you have a couple of balances, let's go lowest to highest balance and just go after those and free up as much margin as you can on a monthly basis. If you'd like to make a balance transfer one time for a 0% interest rate, I would be okay with that, but I wouldn't do it more than once. And to the extent you're not able to pay it and you incur more debt, I wouldn't do it again, and I'd really stay focused. The last thing I might throw out is a debt management service. You could contact repaydebt.org or Christian Credit Counseling and see if they can help you. But I'd really start with that budget.
Thanks, Sherry. We appreciate hearing from you. And if you have a question for Rob you'd like to send along by email instead of calling, the address is questions@moneywiselive.org. Questions@moneywiselive.org. Let's go out to Davenport, Iowa next. Ruth, thanks so much for holding. How can we help you?
Well, my husband just passed away with mesothelioma 3 months ago. Oh. And I find I'm in a financial situation that is brand new to me of having settlements come in, rather large settlements. And I'm really searching as to what I should do with that. Do I give inheritance to children before I die each year to the max? Should I put these settlements in a laddered CD, different banks? There's probably going to be as much as $200,000 that will be coming to me fairly soon. And yeah, these settlements will be coming probably over the next 15 years. But my health situation is rather precarious. I've had lots of heart problems. I do not have long care term insurance. So what would you advise in that case?
Yeah, well, Ruth, first of all, I'm really sorry to hear about your husband's passing, and I appreciate that you want to make sure you're honoring the Lord with this, being a wise steward, and making good decisions moving forward. First thing I would always do in a situation like this where you've gone through a tragedy, you've gone through a major life change, certainly with your husband passing away, we don't want to do anything in terms of major changes quickly. You want to take your time, at least 6 months, maybe as much as a year, and really just process all of this, work through the grieving process, get some wise counsel, and not make any major life changes. But as you get some clarity about what the Lord would have for you moving forward, I think that's the time to begin to really think about where you want to live and what decisions you want to make moving forward. And clearly, having some wise counsel as a part of that is going to be absolutely critical. The Bible talks about the need for a multitude of counselors and the wisdom in having godly counsel, and that's certainly what you need to avail yourself of. And basically, what they will be looking at, a financial professional, is first of all, what is God doing in your life? And what plans, as you pray through this next season. What does God have for you? How do you plan to use your time? Where do you want to live? What are your goals in terms of the giving that you might want to do and providing for your kids now and at death? And just looking at all of these issues. And then as he or she, the financial professional or the team of professionals, begin to understand that, then I think it's just a matter of positioning your assets properly to take full advantage of what God is leading you to. How do we protect the money? How do we take care of it on a tax advantage basis? How can you be a wise giver? What is the estate planning decisions that have to be made? Is it a trust? Or what about updating your will? Looking at all those issues. And what risk do we need to offset through something like long-term care insurance if it's available to you based on your current health, and any other risk that needs to be addressed through insurance? Anything from, of course, your property and casualty, but even beyond that. So I think that's really the direction you need to go. In the short term, Ruth, you could absolutely take any of the proceeds that you're receiving and put those in an FDIC-insured account. And that FDIC insurance will go up to $250,000, and you can do that at multiple banks. And so you would have $250,000 per institution. Right now, as interest rates are rising, you have the opportunity to earn a little bit of money while you're still just trying to get your plan together. And so you can earn, you know, between 1.5% and even 1.8% annually with an FDIC insured high yield savings. Place to find some of the best options out there would be bankrate.com. And whether that's an online a bank or even a local bank or credit union, but you'll find the higher rates with the online options. And then I think it's a matter of, if you don't already have one, finding that trusted professional that's going to walk with you through this decision-making process. If you don't have an advisor or you're looking to make a change, I think you could go to moneywiselive.org and search for a certified Kingdom advisor. I'd interview with at least three. And as a part of that conversation, I would also, again, if you don't already have one, find an estate planning attorney who can help you work through the estate planning needs that you have. And to your point or question about inheritance, I think you could absolutely, once you've done the planning and really feel confident about that, you could even begin to, in addition to the giving you might want to do now, go ahead and start taking advantage of, for instance, the annual gift exclusion of $15,000 per child if you want to begin to pass some inheritance now. So I think there's a lot of moving pieces there. I think the key is to go slow and really put your team of trusted advisors in place that you can lean on for counsel along the way.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that advice.
Well, I appreciate you calling today, and we will ask the MoneyWise community to be praying for you. In fact, would you mind if we prayed for you right now?
That'd be great.
Okay. And Father, we just lift Ruth up to you. She is your daughter, and Lord, we trust you with her. We just ask that you would intervene miraculously. Lord, you tell us that you're near to the brokenhearted. And so we just ask that the peace that passes understanding would descend upon her, and Lord, that you would guide and direct her steps moving forward. Lord, that you'd bring trusted counselors and advisors around her. You'd give her wisdom. You'd give her clarity about this upcoming season. And Lord, that you would just use her in incredible ways in the people around her and for your glory in whatever you have. Lord, we again trust her to you, and just thank you for the opportunity to speak to her today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I agree. Thank you.
God bless you, Ruth. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And we'll ask our listeners to remember Ruth as well. Her husband's only been gone 3 months, and this is a very hard time for her, I'm sure. Well, Rob, we began today talking with David Platt about his book, Something Needs to Change.
Yeah, we sure did, Steve. And I would really encourage all of our listeners to pick up a copy of this book. Incredible story around David's trek with his team through the Himalayas, really seeing such a huge mission field. Keep in mind, this is the birthplace of Hinduism, of Buddhism. Christianity is hardly found anywhere. And then you've got the physical need, just the disease, the cholera that's rampant. Half of the children die before their eighth birthday. Widespread hunger. Of course, there's sex trafficking. It's a really dark place. And yet, God is doing something there as believers are really going to great lengths to come together and worship the Lord. And, you know, this is a reminder, Steve, that we all need to be financially content. We need to manage God's money wisely so we're in a position to respond to incredible needs like the ones that are being identified here in this part of the world. So pick up a copy of Something Needs to Change by David Platt.
Well said, Ron. Well, speaking of financial contentment, author and teacher Ron Blue helps you break down all the financial options available to you today and then helps you find financial contentment, God's plan for your life, in his book, Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. You'll find this volume when you visit our website, moneywiselive.org, in our bookstore, Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, moneywiselive.org. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great remainder of your day. Then join us again next time.